You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good afternoon, 3 p.m. service. Could you give a high five to your seatmates? We're so glad to have you with us. Today is a special Sunday. If you're wondering, ano, naka-hoodie mita na, naka-t-shirt, all that, is that because nahuntan mix anina? All right? It's simply because today is a special Sunday. It's Campus Sunday. If you've been with us for the longest time, you'd know that as a movement or as a church, we are all for the next generation. We are a church that believes in the next generation, the importance of reaching the students, the next generation. That is why we're having this standalone, okay, one-shot installment called Impact. And it's called Impact because we believe as we reach out to the next generation, it's kind of like when you throw a stone in a puddle or in a pond or in a body of water, it creates a ripple effect. In the same way, we believe that when you reach out to a student, you also create that ripple effect. A ripple effect that will impact not just the student's family, friends, but the world as well. We in Every Nation Campus, the campus arm of Every Nation Ministries, which Victory is a part of, is change the campus, change the world. We believe that if we want to make an impact in the world, if we want to make a difference in the world, one way, the biggest way to do so is to change the campus, to reach the campus. And that is why we have all these things in line for us as a campus ministry. Talking about campuses or students, can I just hear a shout? If you're a student here this afternoon, can I just hear a mighty shout from you guys? Mga estudyante, okay? High school, senior high, college level, or feeling student, feeling young ones. So if you are a student, you are in the right time to be here. But if you're not a student, okay, please don't zone out. Please don't think that this is just for students lang. Kasi more siya youth service on a Sunday. This is also very important if you're not a student. In fact, it's a great time for you to be here on this specific service as you get to hear of our heart and our desire to reach out to students. Speaking of campus ministry and all that, we believe so much in the next generation that we have all these things that we do for the students. We have our youth services, our victory groups, our one-to-ones, and all those things. In fact, just yesterday, we jump-started a victory group for preteens. We've been announcing that for the past couple of weeks. That goes to show you how far we're willing to go for the next generation. This coming August, in fact, we're having this, you know, amazing Unashamed 2017. I didn't get to put it up there, okay? Unashamed 2017, those can nag-shout, kabalo sila sana. It's an international gathering of our students and student leaders in Manila. We're not just talking students from the different campuses in the Philippines, but in other nations as well. They'll be gathering people from other countries in Asia, Oceania, and even in Africa, and all that will be gathering in Manila. All these student leaders, so that they will be empowered to all the more make a difference in their campus. That gives you a picture of how far really we're willing to go to change the campus and change the world. Now, with all of those things being said, as I put up to you, our desire to reach out to the campus so much, an important question we need to answer is, why the campus? Okay, you want to do all those things, you want to change the campus, to change the world and all that, but why specifically more? Why put effort? Why put investment? Why the campus? Why is it so important? And I hope and I pray that as we hear the message here this afternoon, it would motivate us, inspire us, and remind us that reaching the students is not just something for the campus missionaries. It's not just for us, the campus missionaries. It's not just for the students. It's not just for teachers or for those who have kids, like parents. It is for everyone. The responsibility of reaching and raising the next generation falls on all of us here today. That's what I want us to understand. And for that, we're going to look into the life of a famous Bible character that many of us probably heard when we were younger. I'm talking about a guy who was known for his dreams, his big dreams. And this guy is called Joseph. We're going to be looking closely in his life story. I'm going to be looking into several verses and chapters as we have a compressed version of his journey, of his life story. And as we do so, we would learn reaching and raising the next generation. So, our story starts on Genesis chapter 37, verses 5 to 11. And before I read the verses, let me just give a quick background on who Joseph is. At the start of our story, Joseph is a young 17-year-old guy born in a very big, complex family. His father had four wives. His name's Jacob, later renamed to Israel. And he had 11 brothers. And he was the second youngest among them. And he was the son of the favorite wife. And our story starts when one day, Joseph had a dream. That's why he's called a dreamer. He was prone to having dreams and he was able to interpret dreams as well. Joseph had a dream and when he told to his brothers, they hated him even more. Verse 6, he said to them, "Hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright and behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf." Verse 8, his brother said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us, or are you indeed to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Verse 9, then he dreamed another dream, and he told his brothers and said, "Behold, I have another dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars is bowing to me." But when he told it to his father and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow ourselves to the ground before you?" And verse 11, his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. So what we have here is that Joseph received this great destiny, that he was going to be a great person. He had a great destiny, God had big plans for him, so great that he was going to sort of outshine the rest of his family. His brothers, even his parents, would bow to him one day. He had that vision and that dream. The problem was, Joseph being young as he was, and because he was kind of spoiled because he was a favored son, he was pretty boastful about his dreams. He said it parang in your face kaya nga way sa brothers niya. Can you imagine the audacity of this guy being able to say that? And not only that, he told his parents pa. Now that's what happened to Joseph. He had this big, amazing dream, and it had a profound effect on his family. And the next part, we're going to look into how his family responded afterward. And we're going to look into three responses, namely the responses of most or majority of his brothers. Secondly, to this one particular brother, his eldest brother named Reuben. And lastly, of his father. And as we look at all these responses towards Joseph, may it somewhat show to us how do we respond towards the next generation. Talking about dreams for a bit, Joseph being a dreamer. Anyone here, you're a person with big dreams. One day, you want to be like this. Gusto kang sumikat, mahimong artista. Or you want to be the next president of the Philippines. Anyone who's like that. The point is, we all have dreams. And sometimes when we hear it from people, but sometimes we react in a negative way towards them. And that's what happened to the first response. The brother's response. One day, when his brothers were out, Joseph followed them because he was instructed to. And while he was coming towards them, his brothers came up with something. In verse 20, it says there, his brother said, "Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of the pits." His brother's first response after hearing about Joseph, about all these dreams and all that, parang, "Hey, here comes that dreamer, our brother. Why don't we get rid of him? Let's kill him, throw him into this pit." Her first response was, "Kill Joseph." Afterwards, they had another discussion, they had another plan. "Okay, let's not kill him na lang kasi wala tayong makuha. We can't gain anything. And his, her flesh and blood. Brother na to siya. So let's just do something else." In Genesis chapter 27 to 28, it says there, "Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Ato lang ibaligya atong igsoon, para natin maginan siya. And let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers listened to him. This is talking to a brother. "Then Midianite traders passed by, and they drew Joseph up after they had grabbed him and thrown him to the pit, lifted him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt." So their second response was, "Okay, let's not kill him na lang. Let's just sell him. Let's just get rid of him. Sell Joseph." The second kind of response naman was from his eldest brother. When his eldest brother heard the initial plot to kill Joseph, this was his response. In verse 21, says there, "But when Reuben heard it, he rescued him," pertaining to Joseph, "out of their hands, saying, 'Let us not take his life.'" It was his eldest brother who suggested, "Let's just throw him into the pit," because he wanted to rescue him later. But because the other brother sold him, when Reuben came back, verse 29, "When Reuben returned to the pit and saw that Joseph was not in the pit, he tore his clothes." Anyone here, you're the oldest or the older sibling, and do you have that experience that you were asked by your parents to watch over your brother or sister? Then one time, namu-mu imong igsoon, he fell down, got bruised, and you're like, "Man, patay ko ni mama, papa, ani." Have you ever had that experience? This was that moment kang Reuben, and it was terrifying because not just nawala yung igsoon, not just nasamad, and what, gibaligya sa other igsoon niya ang one igsoon niya. Can you imagine how he would have to say it to his dad? And he was the eldest, and that was the favorite son, si Joseph, the favorite son, pa ang gibaligya. So Reuben, out of shock, desperation, all that, tore his clothes in grief. In the Hebrew culture, they would often tore their clothes when they were, you know, extremely sad or upset. And that's what happened to Reuben. So the second kind of response. The third response is how Joseph's father, Jacob, responded to Joseph having those dreams. Initially, he rebuked him because Joseph was being boastful and arrogant towards his family. But he also did something, you know, interesting. Verse 11, it says there, and his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. Jacob was like, okay, my son has these kinds of dreams. He didn't just dismiss it. He took note of it. He kept the saying in mind. My son has this kind of destiny, kind of vision. He noticed it. And as we compare all these three responses towards Joseph, I'm saying these things because I want us to assess ourselves, all of us here today, when we talk about the next generation and when we look specifically at the next generation, when you encounter the next generation, how do you respond to them? How do you look at them? Do we kill them, not in a way physically, but do we kill their dreams? Do we get rid of them? Do we trade them and, you know, miss out their value like Joseph's brothers? Or do we cry out? Do we try to save them like Reuben? Do we take note of their potential, of God's purpose, plans, and destiny for them like Jacob? Which are we? When we look at the next generation, which of these two images do we see? When you hear of the millennials here today, do we think of them as the me generation? Puro sila self-entitled, lazy, and all that, 24/7 on social media? Or do we look at them as the kind of people who will become the future leaders, the kind of young people who have great potential, great purpose, and plans and destiny for them? Which of those two are you? Or how do you see the next generation? I hope and I pray that all of us here today would take note and we do our best to rescue and to save and to raise up the next generation. Rather than try to put down and destroy their dreams, their purposes, their plans, their aspirations, or get rid of them. They're not that important yet. There's more important matters. I hope and pray we would come to realize that the next generation is not a sideline kind of issue. But they are a premium that we need to deal with, that we need to put our focus on. May we not be like the brothers of Joseph who wanted just to get him out because they thought he was just an annoying, boastful, arrogant little boy. But may we see them differently. Talking about knowing the value of the next generation, let me just show you this quick illustration. For those of you who are fond of jewelry, mahilig sa diamonds. If you look at the diamond in the jewelry shop or sa mga malls, it looks kind of like this, a typical diamond. But did you know that a diamond, before it arrives in the stores and you want to buy the diamond, it starts off looking something kind of like this. An uncut, unpolished, unprepared diamond, raw diamond that you find in the mines. And the thing with the diamond, as you look at there, is that it's really not that appealing compared to final product na diamond. All sparkly, all glittery, all magnificent and all that. And the same thing with the diamond, the next generation is kind of like that. You may look at them and see the flaws. You may look at them and see, you know, Tom, this is all I see of the next generation. This is all I see of the students. They're all that. You talk about them being a future leader and all that. You talk about them having all this potential. But this is what I see, like an uncut raw diamond. Well, the thing is, that is why we of the current generation are here. Our role is to raise, is to reach out and disciple this new generation, this next generation, that just as a raw diamond can become that cut, polished, and beautiful, kind-looking diamond, the same thing with the next generation. They may be a diamond in the rough, but they can be cut to diamond that we see in the jewelry stores. Our job is to raise them up, to polish, to cut, to raise them, to disciple this next generation. And I'm saying those things because for us to grasp and embrace the rest of Joseph's story, we need first to get past this and look at the next generation in the right perspective. Joseph's brothers missed out that Joseph was a world changer. God had big plans for him. And for him to become the world changer that God wanted him to be, he had four distinct qualities. And if you are a person of the current generation, including myself, meaning you've graduated, okay? These four qualities, may this help motivate you or inspire you to instill this to the next generation. And if you are a student naman here this afternoon, may you be inspired or motivated to aspire for these qualities. Now, yes, we believe in you. And yes, God has big plans and purposes for you. But if you want to attain those plans and purposes, then you need to have the certain qualities as well. All right, so again, the two generations, they work together hand in hand. Now, let's look at closely the four qualities very quickly. First one is leadership. A leader. The interesting thing about Joseph was that after he was sold to slavery, in chapter 39, verse 4, he was put under the employment as a slave of this guy named Potiphar. And Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he, Potiphar, made Joseph overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. Amazing thing, because Joseph was a foreigner in Egypt. He was a slave. He was someone with no stature, no great background for a guy who was in Egypt. Now, he was a slave. And yet, Potiphar saw something in his guy, put him in a leadership position, and made him the second man, next only to him in his household. Every other thing buluhato in the house, say when you start a company, was the head guy. He was the head servant and all that. That's what's happening right here. The only thing it worried Potiphar, in fact, was just what to eat. Can you imagine that? And everything else, Potiphar didn't care because Joseph was handling it so well. That's how amazing the leadership of this guy was. From slave, promoted to the second man. And it's all because Joseph displayed an amazing ability of leadership. And for all of us here today, when we look at the next generation, one big thing why we reach out to the next generation is because the future leaders of our society are in the campuses, are the students, the next generation. We go to the campuses, we make a big deal of the campuses because that is where the future leaders are. Anyone here, mga estudyante, you are the future doctor of this nation, the future engineers, accountants. You guys are the future of this nation, of this world, of this society. And it so happens that the future leaders are right now in the campuses. If the future leaders were at the bottom of the sea, then we would go there. We would say, change the ocean, change the world. If the future leaders were in the mountains, we would go there. My point simply is, where the future leaders are, we go there. And they are in the campuses right now. That's why we make a big deal in why we need to reach the campuses. Why the campus? The future leaders are there. The future Josephs are there. Those with great potential of leadership. Students here today, you might think that, man, dili ko leader yata kay, wala ko na class president, ganin ko na sergeant of arms. Yet leadership is not just position. Joseph started out as a simple slave who served his master. Leadership is service. Leadership is serving. And because of that, Potiphar saw something in this guy and he promoted him to become the second man. That's what we mean by leadership. It's not about positions. Leadership. We all believe that you guys, the young students, have that potential for leadership. The second thing that we can learn from the life of Joseph is integrity. You see, after working for Potiphar, after some time, he was thrown into prison. And even in prison, actually, he was still made leader. While he was in prison, the head of the prison made him in charge of the prison. Can you imagine that? Twice na siya na imong slave. Every time imong siyang slave, i-promote siya. Because someone would look at him, see this guy has something, and put him in a place of position. That's how amazing this guy Joseph was. And to answer, why was he thrown in jail? He was doing so well in Potiphar's household. He was promoted. Everything was going so well. Why was he thrown in jail? Okay, because it says here, chapter 39, verse 7 to 10, after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, lie with me. His master's wife tried to seduce Joseph because guapo si Joseph. You can actually read in the Bible, it says here, he was good looking or he was well in stature and all that. But it says here in verse 8, but he refused. I'm not interested. Who you? Dilikan na si Joseph. He refused and said to his master's wife, behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house. And he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything against God, except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And she spoke to Joseph day after day. He would not listen to her, to lie beside her, or to be with her. Day after day, the wife would try to seduce Joseph, but Joseph would not have nothing of it. He wouldn't lie with her. He wouldn't even hang out with her. Di man lang makichat siya, makitext siya, makihangat. Uy, sige, spend time ta, coffee ta. Diligan siya, he wouldn't even compromise a single thing. Joseph was a man of integrity. Integrity meaning a man of character. He was someone who was willing to compromise and gave up and trade off his purposes and plans and destiny that God had placed on him by a short and fleeting moment of pleasure. Joseph didn't want anything to do with it. He fled from it. In fact, in the later part of the story, when the wife of Potiphar wanted to seduce Joseph once again, he ran. Unfortunately, nadakpan si Joseph. Nabira yang sanina, okay? His garment was taken. But he ran nonetheless. He ran away. He fled. Take the word, fled. He fled. But unfortunately, because of the master's wife by the garment, she accused Joseph of trying to seduce her, and Joseph was thrown in jail. That's how far Joseph was willing to keep his integrity. He was willing to be thrown in jail, okay, just to have his integrity. Willing to be accused of something he didn't do. Because for him, what's more important was that he would not compromise. Integrity will cost. And for all of us here today, yes, we believe that all of you can be great leaders, especially the next generation. If we want to attain God's plans for us, yes, be great leaders. We believe you guys are great leaders. But you also need to have integrity as leaders. It only takes one compromise to start the fall and decline as a leader. May we hold on to our integrity. The third thing we can learn from Joseph is excellence. Anyone here, you're sitting next to someone very excellent. Excellent, like Mike and Motoon. For those of your students na 6 months ahead, na sila. Before start of classes, nag-study na. Anyone here like that? Or if you're working, you have a workmate, they're excellent in the workplace. Always 30 minutes ahead on times at work, all those things. Last one out of the work. You know, excellence, okay? Whatever kind. Joseph was a man of leadership, man of integrity, and also a man of excellence. And it shows in why he was promoted. Genesis chapter 39, verse 5 to 6. Going back to at that time when he was still in Potiphar's house. From the time he was made overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge. And because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. Just to reemphasize, now really, that's how excellent Joseph was. That his master didn't need to worry about anything. Joseph took care of everything excellently. Everything prospered. That's how excellent Joseph was. And that's why he was continually promoted. A man of excellence. And that speaks to us. If we want to achieve, if we want to be successful in the future, we have a certain level of success and attain those dreams that we want, then we need to start living lives of excellence. Start being excellent. This is a hard reminder for all of us, even for myself. Now, we all need to be excellent. If we want to do good, be excellent in the future. Students who are here today, you want to be excellent in your workplace, in your field in the future. You do so by starting being excellent right now in your studies. Because you will reap what you sow. If you're not excellent right now, you will not be excellent when you start working, and you will have a harder time. Joseph was excellent. Even after he got imprisoned, later that, he was freed. To cut the long story short, through God's orchestration, he was the second man to the Pharaoh naman. Every time, Joseph was just always promoted. But his last promotion was to become the second man of the Pharaoh. And still, he was an excellent man. But he wouldn't be that excellent if he didn't start being excellent. Excellence is a lifestyle, not a one-time thing. Excellence here is not just being excellent during finals week, students, or midterms week. Or in prelims week, but it's a lifestyle kind. For all of us who are working, excellence is not just during the overtime times or the peak times in our work, but in every day, we need to be excellent. Talking about excellence, just quick illustration I want us to know of is the story of this guy right here. Regardless of whatever NBA team you are, I'm not really a basketball guy. I'm just using this guy for the sake of illustration. Okay? See, Steph Curry, before he became a two-time MVP, before he became known as one of the best shooters in their league right now, before he became the big star that he is right now, before his jersey became famous that so many people want to buy his jersey right now, before all of that happened, back in his college days, when he was playing college basketball, his coach mentioned that he was consistently one of the most hardworking players in their team. Back in college, this guy worked hard, played hard during the basketball time. When he would practice, he would do it hard. He would work hard on it. And it paid off. Now, today, even when he is still a major NBA star now, he's still working hard about it. He's still being excellent. If he didn't start living a life of excellence when he was in college, not be the big NBA star he is today. And the same thing with all of us. We need to start living lives of excellence if we want to become the world changers and shapers God wants us to be. Yes, we can attain a certain level on our own or if it's not excellent somehow, but not really at the level that God wants you to be. Joseph would not be the second man to the Pharaoh if he was not living a life of excellence. The last thing that we can learn from Joseph's life, his amazing story, is faith. The amazing thing about Joseph is that he was always promoted, even though he was a slave twice. A slave to Potiphar, a slave in prison because he was accused of something, and yet he was still always promoted. The credit was not just because he was so good, but it was still because of God. Faith here speaks of that in Genesis chapter 39, verses 2 to 3. It says there, the Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. What was Joseph's secret? Why he was such a man of leadership, integrity, and excellence? Why was he such so? Because he was also a man of faith. Without faith, then can only attain so much on his own strength and abilities. But Joseph was a man of faith. It says here, the Lord was with Joseph. And several times in this story, you will come across that key phrase, the Lord was with Joseph. His secret, why he would always prosper, why he would always be promoted, very simple, the Lord was with him. Because the Lord was with him, he prospered, he got promoted. Without God, he wouldn't be the Joseph in the story that we're going through right now. Without God, it might have been a very lesser kind of story. But because God was in the picture, orchestrating Joseph's story, God made it possible that those dreams that he had back when he was 17 years old, it actually came to fruition. It actually happened. A few years later, after he got out of prison, what happened was that the Pharaoh had this crazy dream of 7 fat cows, 7 lean cows, and another kind of dream, and no one else could interpret it except for one guy, Joseph. He was called into the presence of the Pharaoh, made to interpret it, and amazingly enough, this is what Joseph answered after Pharaoh said, you know what, I heard you can interpret dreams. Joseph responded by saying, verse 16, is not in me, God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. Years ago, when he was 17 years old, he would probably have boasted on what he could do of his dreams, his abilities and all that. But this time he said, you know what, it's all because of God. He gave God the credit for it. And as the story goes, he was able to interpret the dream well. He got promoted, made overseer of Egypt, a second man to the Pharaoh. When famine came, because that was part of the dream interpretation, his family, the very family that sold him, came to Egypt looking for food, bowed down to the overseer, not knowing it was actually Joseph. His dreams actually came true. And to cut the long story short, he had the reunion with his family, made it right with his family. And that's how amazing God was, the orchestration of God. And again, that would have happened if it wasn't for God. John 15 verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Young students here today, yes, we believe you are men and women of excellence, leadership, integrity. You are young people, we believe, if you can make a difference in a campus. But apart from God, we can only do so much. We can't do anything apart from God. Apart from God, we will not bear much fruit. We need God in our lives. We need faith. Leadership, integrity, faith, and excellence. One of our taglines in Every Nation Campus, apart from our saying, change the campus, change the world, is to say, we empower students for life. Leadership, integrity, faith, and excellence. And as I close this, let me just answer one simple question for us. What should we do now? Knowing and hearing from the story of Joseph, now he lived a life of those four qualities, leadership, integrity, faith, excellence. If you're the current generation, what should you do? If you're the next generation now, what should you do? If you are the current generation, what can we do? Very simple. Invest in the next generation. Invest those qualities. Invest leadership, integrity, faith, excellence to the next generation. Invest time. Invest your life to the next generation. Because the next generation will greatly appreciate that. Let us not make the mistake of Joseph's family who decided to get rid of him, missing out that he was a diamond in the rough. But when we take note and when we see the next generation, we would come to see them, you know, as this important young men and women that God has big plans for. And may we invest what we have on them. Invest our lives on them. Invest in the next generation. And that is why for all of us here today, this is something that we can do. Not just for us now in campus ministry. If you're here today and you are a parent, I want to tip my hat to you guys. Are there any parents here today? Parents or teachers working in the schools? You know what? God has given you an amazing privilege, amazing avenue to shape and make an impact in our nation or in the world. Every day, your households, you have an opportunity to make an impact to the next generation when you raise your families. Your sons, your daughters, they may be a challenge sometimes, okay? They may drive you crazy sometimes, but know that those young men and women, They are the future, and you have that great opportunity to shape them. I want to commend those amazing men and women, the parents and the teachers, for doing what you're doing. Teachers, week in and week out, on the four walls of your classroom, when you see those 30-plus students in your classroom, they're not just there to finish a subject. You're not just there to finish a course. You're there to educate and raise the next generation as well. You're not just teachers. Jesus was called a teacher, named a teacher. It is a great privilege and honor to be a teacher. So if you're a teacher here today, if you know of any teachers, do commend them. Do encourage them. They're doing a mighty work in making an impact in our next generation. And if you're thinking now, Tom, you know, I'm not a parent, I'm not a teacher, can I really make an impact in the next generation? Yes, you can. You might not have time to physically go to the campuses. I'm not saying all of us go there right now. But all of us here today, we have a next generation after us. All of us here today have a next generation looking at us, following in our footsteps, looking closely at our lives. All of us here today can make an impact on the next generation. All of us here today have nieces, cousins, brothers, siblings, sisters. And all of us have that opportunity to make an impact. Just try walking downtown sa Dumaguete and you will be surrounded by students. It's impossible to go to this city without encountering the next generation. This service itself is filled with students. Again, if you are a student, lift up your hand. Mga estudyante, can you lift up your hand? Students. Oh, that's a lot of students right there. That's 3 p.m. service pa lang. Invest in the next generation. I want to share just one more story before I end about how we can raise the next generation, the practicality of it. I want to share you this story, this picture of a couple, RG and Janji. They're not full-time ministers. They're ordinary men and women. Janji works on part of the admin at schools in Norsu. They're married. They have this daughter. They have one more in the way. And amazingly, amidst their busy schedule, amidst all that they're doing in their lives, they make time to invest in the next generation by having a victory group, okay, among the students that they're discipling. And I'm just sharing that because I want to understand that it is possible to invest in the next generation. Your family members, your neighbors, you know, it is possible for you. No one can say, no, you know what? God cannot use me to make an impact on the next generation. We all can do so. We all can make our part. There's always a next generation after you. There's always a next generation after you. I want to end with this, talking about the next generation. We can change the campus and change the world because God is with us. It may sound like a big thing. Can we really change the campus and change the world? It sounds like an immense task. Yes, it is immense. It sounds like a big challenge. Yes, it is challenging. It's a big goal. And just like Joseph, big dreams, it can only happen because God is with us. Apart from God, we cannot change the campus and change the world because God is with us. We can say it with confidence that when we change the campus, we can change the world. So if you're here today, whether you're students, you're single professional, or you're married, we can change the campus and we can change the world together.